Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We bring in Adam McAlvey on the Great Midwest Bank hotline from Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show on Fridays. Adam, appreciate the time, and it's a lot more fun talking to you when they've won 14 of their last 16 instead of losing 11 of their last 16. Does it feel like the Brewers are officially back from that dry spell they went through at the end of April?
Well, I mean, what stands out to me are those two games at Wrigley and how it was a little bit doom and gloom when I was on with the morning guys on Monday morning after they didn't really hit on Saturday and Sunday. And then they go to Philly, it's 85 degrees, it's a great ballpark to hit, and they look a little more like themselves. So, you know, I think some of this, the weather conditions have played a little bit of a role in some of the offensive stuff, maybe. Maybe the opponents have played a little bit of a role. They had that really tough early season schedule that they've navigated pretty well so far. Still in it here with the Braves, a pretty good team. You know, they're surviving, I think. And I think on paper we talked about how this early part of the season was going to be tough. And, you know, I think they've kept their heads above water pretty good, and that's a good thing.
You know, I didn't hear the doom and gloom morning show on Monday, but I will say that on the big show Monday afternoon, I was relatively pleased with how everything went because, for me, the key going into that series on Friday was I wanted to see how this pitching staff was going to hold up against the Cubs' offense, and yeah. I thought they pitched really, really well.
Well, look, and again, for the Brewers, that was also the way. I mean, it was just a really – Wrigley Field was a terrible place to hit, especially on Saturday and Sunday. It basically rained for 2 days straight, terrible offensive conditions, and the Brewers did what they were supposed to do. You know, Wilson Contreras hit a homer one day, Chris Bryant hit a big homer in the finale, and the Cubs took those final two games. But in the macro, I think, for this Brewers team, they are pitching better, and I still don't know why this happens in baseball. It shouldn't, but pitching staff seem to get on a roll where they feed off each other, and when one or two guys start going good, all of a sudden you have three, four, five guys going good. There's no logic to that. I don't know why it happens, but look, it does. And I was just chatting with Chase Anderson a little. He's coming back to start tomorrow against the Braves. And he said it gets to a point as a staff where you don't want to be the weak link. So maybe that's what it is, where you go out there with a mindset like, look, those other guys are getting the job done. I need to get it done too. It should be like that all the time, obviously. But it just seems like when one or two guys get it going, others seem to follow. And that's what's happening right now. And as a pitching staff, they've brought those numbers down in pretty dramatic fashion over the last few weeks, and it doesn't look quite as bad as it did, you know, when we were talking about the pitching in April.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see the ace of this club. I'm not going to give you no names. I'm not going to mention Woodruff. Because all these guys have good numbers, but if I put different names on the number, on these pitchers, okay, people will say they're having career years, they're ace of baseball, but when you have Zach Davies, people may not know him, they don't give him the respect. That's fine, I'm okay with that. But let's look at the respect. Keston Hira comes up, they put him in the seven hole, people go nuts, he goes 2-for-3, great. Okay, they move him up a little bit. Now he's not doing so well. Are you fine with them hitting at seven, or would you like to see him move up?
Oh, no, I mean, I think these early – you know, these early weeks for Keston here in the major leagues, you just want him to get that feeling like he belongs. So
yeah,
I'm not certain that, you know, really it matters to him where he's hitting. I think the big deal is playing some stadiums with three and four decks. You know, we're here in Atlanta with one that has four decks. You don't see that at the AAA level. So he's just got to get comfortable up here, feel like he belongs. He's a very confident player. He got tons of experience in Major League spring training games, and yes, it's only spring training, but it's still a big league game, and he did it for the Brewers for a couple of years. So I think that's what the most important thing for him is build a little confidence. And look, it's hard. And we talked about
Absolutely.
This the other day. You look at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That is as good as a baseball prospect as there is. Is the best prospect in many years. And he comes up to the big leagues, and he struggles. And the numbers aren't pretty for him early. But that doesn't mean he's not ready or not going to be good. It just means that this is a different level of pitching that you don't see anywhere else, and an environment with the lights and the decks and the TV cameras that you don't get in other places. He's got to just get his feet under him a little bit.
With our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McCalvey, here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Segment with Adam is always brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola, on the web at MorolaLaw.com. Adam, sticking with Keston, in the sense of how long you can expect to see him up here, do you expect that he goes down right away when Travis is ready to come off the IL, or do you believe that he can take this off the sheet and be the starting second baseman from here on out?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that, and it may depend on the circumstances when they get to that point. When they get Travis Shaw feeling good again, physically and probably mentally, get him back in a good place. I don't know if this has been talked about, but even if it's a short stint on the injured list, he might be a guy that you send on a rehab assignment just to go hit a little bit. Maybe get a good feeling going. I don't know what their plans are for that because they're not at that point yet. But I think they might take a little bit of time with it and try to use this as an opportunity to get him going, because Keston Hira is a big part of their future. But Travis Shaw is a big part of their today. And this is a guy that provided a lot of production over the last 2 years, played a really good third base for them, and was a very big part of their team. And I don't think we should look at this just because it was a premium prospect that got called up in this instance to take his spot. Like, this is the end of Travis Shaw. So they're going to have to make some sort of complicated decision in order to figure out what they're going to do when Travis Shaw gets back. And I can't tell you how they're going to handle that. And I really believe it's going to have to do with what are the other circumstances. You see with Manny Pena's injury, for example, how just things can change in one day. And all of a sudden your decision is kind of made for you. And I think they're going to wait until it's time to make that call, to actually make the call.
It's funny how conveniently there's always an injury.
Look, that's fair. Like, I had the same, you know, I think that's a totally fair question. And I guess my outlook on it is, if Travis Shaw really, you know, well, we know he's had that wrist injury for the last year, basically. We don't know whether it was like a big flare-up. Let's say it wasn't. Are you mad?
No,
like, no.
No, I don't
care. If they were like,
no, they do what they got to. Look, man, they do what they got to do. Patriots do the same thing in the NFL. So it doesn't bother me one way or the other. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. But my thing is right now, when you look at the Brewers and what Christian Yelich is doing, and we were having some fun with this earlier because he cut that promo. Do you have that promo from earlier with Christian Yelich, baby Tosh? What was that? That was a commercial, right?
Yeah, the let the kids play.
I'm going to hit 50 home runs this year.
Oh, boy. 50 is such a big number.
Huge.
I'm not going to predict 50, but I'd give him 40.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of the narrative in the offseason was, is he going to regress? And then early in the year, it looked like, wow, this guy could actually be better. Let's say he's a little better. I think that puts 40 home runs within reach for him. And he's certainly at a pace for it right now. And he's to hit a couple on the road was probably good for him, because I don't think he was sweating the road home split, but now he doesn't have to hear about it maybe as much.
Well, the other thing about this too, Adam, is we were talking about this earlier as well, that look, if he ends up being the best player in baseball here over the next couple of years, and you know, you're talking about overcoming Mike Trout, Mookie Betts or whatever, and you got Bellinger having a nice year this year. I mean, how in the world does Milwaukee afford this guy? I say they don't, because if he puts up 40 or more home runs in the next couple of years as this contract comes to an end and is driving in 120 runs, I mean, you might be talking about the first $500 million guy in baseball. There's no way they can compete with that.
Well, the difference would be, though, where is he going to be? He's going to be into his 30s by the time this current deal is over. So, you know, that's – I don't know if you're going to get – well, I shouldn't say that, because the money – keeps flowing, so who knows what it's going to be. But look, I mean, you're right. I don't in terms of, like, can they re-sign him? I don't know. The good news for the Brewers is that's still 4 years down the line, and they've kind of got his prime years here, and they've got a competitive team and a window to do something. So it's not as if this is like something for them to solve this season. They've got still a number of years to go, and I don't think that there's a big hurry to figure that out on either side, to be honest. I mean, I don't think Yelich would be in any hurry to sign an extension right now, because he's still got years left on his deal, and who knows what the economics of the game are going to look like when he gets to the end. There's guys signing some pretty gigantic deals.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about Mookie Betts and Adam. It's been so bad over here. I'm not good at math, but I'm trying to jam 4 million people into this. He's come through there. Anthony, my smart guy, says they can only get 3.4 million, so we're trying to stuff 600,000 more people in there. Obviously, the money is an issue. I get that. But when you get up, when you're going to get a chance to get Dubon, Corey Ray, and these guys, this team is set up to be good for a long time. That's the good thing about it. I don't know if some of these other teams are built to last, but the Brewers are definitely built to last.
Well, look, it's going to come down to what it always comes down to, I think, and what it's come down to for many years for this franchise, pitching. Do they have the young pitchers to go?
Well, Jimmy Nelson should be ready. I think he's been throwing around pretty good. He'll be up here soon.
Jimmy Nelson goes again tonight, and then we don't know after that. But, I mean, still, I think those young, that young trio, Woodruff, Peralta, Burns, are still really important. If you're talking about the long term and being competitive for the next bunch of years, a couple of those guys are going to have to hit, like metaphorically hit. Yeah. And we haven't – Woodruff, I think you're seeing it more.
Mm-hmm.
Burns, you're seeing it in relief, not as a starter yet. But, you know, multiple of those players I think are going to have to end up being good starting pitchers for a while for you to really have a nice long window. Because, look, their run they're on right now, this is the best example of it. The pitching dictates so much of what happens. And you can be a really good offensive team, but if you have no pitching, you're not going to be able to win consistently. And they're winning consistently right now because they're throwing the ball really well.
And we're talking about all these young pitchers, Adam, and we did not mention the league leader in ERA, who's, by the way, only 26 years old.
In an era, that's a good point. I mean, Zach Davies came up young, and I think that gets forgotten a little bit.
Yep.
But in an era where everybody's throwing 96, 97, you've got a guy throwing 90 and hitting spots. And by the way, Gio Gonzalez kind of doing it the same way.
Yep.
It shows you that pitching is playing with timing. And some guys play with timing by throwing it by guys, and other guys have to really pitch. And I give those guys credit. And look, I give let's give Chris Hook a little bit of love, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
We talked about Chris Hook, and he took some heat. He heard it, I'm sure. And
his
family hears it. So he deserves some credit for what's happening now in a good way, too.
You're right. I'm so glad you brought this up. Because everybody was talking about the young man that went to Cincinnati and how he helped. I said, listen, how do you explain Zach Davies? And they say, well, yeah, you got a point. How do you explain this? If you take Zach Davies' name, like I said before, and just put, like, Kershaw, his name over these numbers, people will say, man, this guy on the way for a Cy Young. But just because it's Zach Davies, that's when he don't get the love. So we try to do it here on this show.
Yeah, look, I mean, the coaching thing, coaching is about preparing players. That's true
absolutely.
In any sport. And then the players have to go perform. And the Brewers weren't performing early, and it's easy to sort of point to that coaching change is a reason. And but so I think that, you know, everything we heard once we started asking those questions was that but there were no doubts about the quality of the preparation, the quality of the work ethic, the hours that were being put in, the detail. Mm-hmm. It was just that pitchers were not executing. Now, in this stretch, they're executing better.
Adam, appreciate the time, as always, here.
Thanks a lot,
when you join us on Fridays. And
really
enjoy the ATL, man.
Yeah, you know what? My first time at this park, it's awesome. You guys should put this on your list.
Fantastic. It is. Also, I have on my list in July is finally I want to make the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh trek because they're back-to-back. So I
Cincy
think that might
awesome.
Be
awesome. That's my favorite ballpark.
You know,
Cincy.
That's a good drive, too. I've done that Cincinnati to Pittsburgh drive through Columbus and go check out the campus in Columbus.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so
I can...
there's something for your itinerary.
There it is. Adam McAlvey also being my travel planner. I appreciate it, man.
All right. See ya.
That's Adam McAlvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.